Last time I spoke about our trip to Germany, everything we experienced there, and now we have been in Germany. Now I wanted to talk about our return, since the story has not finished with the story of chaos. So, our flight to Germany. No, it didn't go as planned, as you heard about, but we still made it to Germany the following day. And like I said last week, there was a reason we had to go, as there was a reason why Satan didn't want us to go. And God allowed the trials to come upon us, perhaps to also see how we were going to respond, to see if we would fold under the circumstances we faced. It is always easy to give up when things get tough. And it's certainly easy to say it as well, without really thinking about it at first. God tested Job to see how he would respond when Satan attacked him persistently. But Job stood his ground, and he answered in a way you wouldn't expect, you know, in human terms, with everything that we went through, the tremendous loss, personal afflictions that he suffered due to Satan's attacks on him. Could we then do the same? Do we respond by giving thanks to God, just like it says in James 1, where we are joyful for all the various trials we endure? This is a scripture that is tough to read, but this scripture is there for a reason. It's there for us. It's there so we don't forget, because trials are a normal part of a Christian life. And the purpose of trials is for our endurance, so we can become perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Not to say that this isn't easy to do, because at the very moment we go through a trial, our human emotions oftentimes get the better of us. And that is where we need self-control. It is one of the characteristics listed in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And out of that list, we were certainly tested in some of these, especially the long-suffering and the gentleness part, but we had faith in God. God had faith in Job, that he would not quit, but remain and not waver from God's righteousness. Satan put God to the test too, but God also had faith that Job would succeed. Job had many trials. He lost everything, like I said. He lost his family, he lost his possessions, his health was affected, and even after all that, he wasn't angry towards God, but he couldn't understand why all these things were happening to him. In his mind, he did everything right. He thought he was without sin. His weakness, however, was his self-righteousness, which he did eventually overcome by acknowledging God's power. When God finally proved to him, after much patience from God, and as a result, Job received back more than he had before his trials. Job realized his mistake, and he wasn't too proud to admit it. But in return, he asked God for help. And that is sometimes very difficult to do. You know, sometimes you just think, you know what? No, I'm doing everything right, and I don't want to admit it. Thinking yourself lowly that you're admitting to something. But that's not what God is looking for. God wants us to realize when we go through trials, when we go through mistakes, he wants us to realize that what we're doing isn't right. And when we come to God and ask for forgiveness, God will respect that. God did not quit on Job. He had confidence in him that he would make the right decision. It took a while, but it came. And there are many other examples in the Bible where God was confident that they would succeed and put their faith and trust in God despite the trials and tribulations they went through. For example, as we heard about last week in the sermon, with Daniel not giving in to man that went against God's laws, and then his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not buckle under pressure, they put their lives into God's hands. And that is exactly what we are to do on a daily basis, no matter what we are confronted with. So let's continue with the rest of this story. This time, our return back from Germany, we got word that Lufthansa, our airline, had gone on a strike the Friday before we were to leave. So this was a few days later. We were supposed to leave on Monday, April 13th. And since it was on Friday, okay, we had some breathing room. It was not uncommon, first of all, for Lufthansa to go on strike, as this has been happened many times in the past, usually around the time that we were to travel, although it hadn't affected our flights in the past. This time, however, the flight attendants were the source of the strike on that Friday. Now, this couldn't continue over the weekend into Monday, since a certain time would need to pass for the strike to continue, which was our understanding based on what we were reading online. And flights were scheduled, according to schedule, on Saturday and Sunday. So far, so good. But late Saturday evening, I received an email from Lufthansa stating that the Union Vereinigung cockpit, which means the pilots this time, has announced a strike at short notice for Monday and Tuesday, the 13th and 14th of April, 2026. And of course, our flight was on Monday. And Lufthansa is working intensively to keep the impact on our passengers as low as possible. We are trying to have as many flights as possible operated by other airlines within the Lufthansa group and by partner airlines. If you are affected by flight cancellations or rebookings, we will proactively inform you by email latest by Sunday morning, April 12th, about the current situation. All right, so we got this email like, okay, well, there is a chance that the strike will not happen. Nothing was confirmed yet. It didn't necessarily mean the strike was going to take place, but not until I received a following email at 12:20 in the morning confirming that the flight was indeed canceled. Unbelievable. Here we go again. And once again, our flights were automatically booked for the following day on Tuesday. No nonstop flight, no extra legroom seats, another connection, but this time in Denver. And this was the best option available. We could have risked it and waited until Wednesday for a nonstop flight with Lufthansa, but nothing was for certain anymore since the strike could be prolonged further, which then actually ended up being the case for the whole week. So fortunately, we didn't do that. But again, we had to repurchase our extra legroom seats. We're not cheap by any means. We had to extend our car rentals. We had to extend our parking at LA where we had left our vehicle when we left. And we had to prepare to extend our stay in Germany another day. Now we were a little bit more perplexed as to why this was happening. We could see why Satan didn't want us to go to Germany, but now he doesn't want us to come back. I know I said there are reasons for trials, but sometimes it just doesn't make any sense. Yet, God knows all about it, and there could very well have been a reason why we weren't supposed to go back as originally planned. And one day, we will know why. But at least this time, we had a day's notice, and we weren't stuck at the airport having to spend the night there again. So it actually turned out pretty good. Stayed an extra day. But despite the day delay and not having a nonstop flight as originally planned, we really had no issues at the airport in Frankfurt the next day. The scales weren't broken to weigh our luggage. The wheelchair service was on point. It was practically VIP service. The security lines were swift. The flight was on time. The seats were pretty good. Even had an extra seat free next to us. The food was much better overall. In fact, we were served like 4 times. I don't think I've ever been so full on a flight before. The flight was quicker than anticipated. All was good. And then we arrived in Denver. Denver is a very large airport. If you haven't been there, well, if you've been there, you know. It reminded me of how the Israelites had walked in the wilderness for many, many miles. As this time another song was playing in my head. I can walk 500 miles. I started singing it out loud, but nobody wanted to sing along. Nobody was in the mood. My mom did have wheelchair access this time, but not a ride on the cart like last time. And the poor wheelchair attendant also had to walk with us as he pushed her wheelchair from the gate to security, through the baggage claim, where we had to retrieve our luggage and then drop it off again. And that just never makes any sense for me, but that's what we had to do. Had to go through customs, had to then take the connecting tram that would bring us to our next terminal, and then to our departure gate. In fact, we actually backtracked. We're going through the track. It's like we just walk past our gate. You go all the way down, then you come all the way back. Still, doesn't make any sense, but that's how it is there. So this wheelchair attendant does this all day long. And they ask him, like, how long have you been doing this? Oh, since, I don't know, how early in the morning. He probably did walk 500 miles. But we got to our gate. There were no issues getting on board. We had good seats, of course, since we paid for them. The flight was fine. Arrival at LAX and the retrieval of our luggage was pretty good as can be expected. But this time it took about 45 minutes to wait for the shuttle that was supposed to take us to our van. And 45 minutes is a long time when you're waiting outside, which is normally 20 minutes at the most. I had to call a couple times to make sure they actually were coming. And then we were finally there and we got to our car. And guess what? The car started right away. So good news. That was fine. We were on our way. But not quite yet. The gate to exit the parking garage would not open for us. And there is nobody around. I mean, seriously, there was nobody around. We're stuck in this parking garage. We can't get out. We honked the horn. Nothing. Pushed the call button for assistance. No one was picking up. Again, nobody's around. After several minutes, I was able to find somebody who supposedly worked there, but she couldn't get a hold of anybody either. Said that the barcode that we had was defective. I then told her what we had been going through, that we just wanted to go home. So she was able to use her barcode somehow on her phone to override the system, to then have the gate open for us, and kindly said, have a good day. An ironic statement, but we'll take it. So then we were. Finally got back. I don't know how late it was in the evening. We got back, but finally got back. Now, after going through something like this, not just once, but both times having both flights canceled, the initial reaction leads you to say that you will never fly again. That's it. Never again. Not doing it. That's understandable. But could it get any worse? Of course it could. Would you expect to go through that again in this way? Hopefully not. And now that we did, a connecting flight without problems doesn't even seem all that bad in comparison to what we had just experienced. 48 hours in the first trip and then another day delay and everything going, having to go through. If you just had a straight connecting flight somewhere and that was it, that just doesn't seem all that bad anymore, right? Yet we still ask ourselves why this happened. What were the reasons for these trials? Again, like I said, Satan didn't want us to go to Germany. and then he didn't want us to leave. We saw how Satan kept nitpicking and jabbing us throughout our flights, throughout this whole ordeal, to try to persuade us to give up and not keep going. Sure, the thoughts were in our heads. What do? Should we just stay? Is this the answer here? But no, it wasn't. God, of course, let it happen to also test us like he had tested so many throughout history, as the Bible talks about. We can laugh about it now. We couldn't then, but now we can. It's all behind us. We can laugh about it. But we are certainly not the only ones who have gone through trials. We know there are others out there, ones listening in right now, who have gone through much worse or are suffering physically. But we share our experiences, no matter what, with each other because we can all relate in one way or another. How did Paul react when he went through his many, many trials? And we read about his whole list of things he went through in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 28. He went through physical abuse, through danger. He was whipped. He was stoned. He was beaten, frequently exposed to death. He faced danger from rivers, from robbers, his own people, the Jews, the Gentiles, false believers. He was imprisoned multiple times. Acts 16, 22 to 25. And he once escaped Damascus by being lowered in a basket, as it says in verses 32, 33 of 2 Corinthians 11. He suffered from a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, that brought him pain, which God did not remove, which taught him a valuable lesson, something that we all can relate with. That I want to turn to in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 10. One of these scriptures that we frequently visit and read about. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, which causes sickness, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times. Obviously, wanted to be healed from this sickness, wanted this to go away, that I might depart from him. Verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities or sicknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And here was his response, just like an unexpected response that Job had given. Here is Paul's, verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, all for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. His suffering taught him that strength is made perfect in weakness. Here was Paul, an apostle of God, admitting that he had weaknesses. And only through his weaknesses could he become strong. The weakness itself didn't make him strong, but overcoming it gave him that strength. And this is very relevant for us today, since we all have weaknesses that we must fight to overcome. It is nothing that is easily to overcome, but only through faith, through prayer, and repentance. If we didn't have any weaknesses, then we would be perfect. We wouldn't have nothing to worry about. And we know that's not the case, since none of us are perfect. And don't think you're the only one who has a weakness. Every person in the Bible had a weakness, even some of the greatest who were men of God. Aside from Christ, I mean, he went through weaknesses too, of course, but he didn't have a weakness where it would cause him to sin. Obviously, that was not the case with him. But everyone else, they all had to struggle to overcome their weaknesses. They also had to experience punishment by God to make them stronger. They had reasons for their trials. Many of them went through trials that seemed impossible to get through, but strength was on their side. Paul's weakness made him strong. He went through emotional and physical burden, and all for one purpose, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28 and 29. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28. First, we read about all the things that he went through, everything he experienced. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily is my deep concern for all the churches. This was his whole focus. This was everything he went through was for this reason. Who is weak? Verse 29. And I am not weak. Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation or anger. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my sickness. You know, beyond his physical pain, he carried daily concern for the churches, and he felt the weaknesses of others. He wasn't going to let trials get the better of him, since he was focused on his mission, to also continue where Christ had left off. After Christ's death, the work was not finished. No, it was going to continue. It continued through his disciples. It continued through the apostles, his ministers, his followers, his true believers. It continued through Paul, who was eventually imprisoned as an evildoer in Rome before his death. But Paul didn't fear death. He knew that he had prevailed, as he points out in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. Second Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He was very confident in his victory. Finally, verse 8, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge will, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul knew he was going to be alone in this. He knew that others were going to join him. He's talking about us. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 9. 2 Timothy 2, verse 9, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. That didn't bother him. His physicality did not bother him. And today, it is our turn. God called us also for this reason. Notice 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 23. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Christ didn't care about what people thought about him. Again, his physicality. What was more important to him is succeeding. Just like with us. Our calling is a blessing. Whatever difficulties we go through, let us not forget how we are to handle them. It is an effort to maintain peace. Something goes wrong. What is our initial reaction? Do we have thoughts of doubt, worry, discouragement during tough times? Yes, we do. But how do we handle that? It's all about how we control ourselves. And what would Christ do in this situation that he was faced with over and over again? 2 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Verse 10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. When we go through difficult situations, we may think that we aren't being blessed. But think of it as more of a test that we need to overcome. And we know that God is there to help us. Romans 8, 26 to 28. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28, and we know that all these things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We continue undoing the work of God. Continue on in keeping God's commandments, observing the Sabbath and the holy days. Continue watching world events and being spiritually prepared for Christ's return that could happen before we even realize it. Look how quick time goes by. Things could develop so fast, and we can be caught off guard so fast. Each one of us is unique. We all have various strengths and weaknesses, and each one of us knows what they are, and we all know what it is that we must work on. If there is a certain weakness we have trouble with, we need to make it a priority to overcome it. And Satan is very intelligent. Let us never forget that. He will attack us, again, say over and over again, attacks on the very things that we are most vulnerable. We are called out of this world for a reason, and Satan knows that, which is why we need to be vigilant at all times with everything, not just before a holy day coming up, before the feast or Passover. No, every single day we need to be vigilant, especially now in this time. Because Satan knows he has a short time left. But he can only do what God allows. Remember what happened to Job and to Paul and all of Christ's true followers. God allowed these tests and trials on them to teach them a lesson. Yes, we are all going through trials, and yes, there are reasons for them. Again, we are the few that God has chosen, and Satan knows that too. And our trials that we go through are different than those outside the church because we are in a separate category who have been called to the truth. And we are not given to time and chance. God is aware of everything we go through, every trial, for our benefit. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 9, to conclude. 1 Peter 1, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, being tested for the purpose of being successful. Verse 8, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We still need to overcome our weaknesses and replace them with righteousness. And when we do that, God will be pleased. And so will we. So in the end, our trip to Germany was a success. Despite everything we went through, we still made it. And it was nice to see the brethren, nice to see the family and friends there again. We do have plans to see each other again, as this is also our purpose, to be there for one another, to offer strength and encouragement for one another, to continue to work by preaching the gospel, sharing the good news of what is to come, to continue fulfilling Christ's mission and the reason why we are all here.